Confession.
Excuse.
Townsend.
Here.
Vasey.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Schiffer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excuse.
Excused. 27 present, 3 excused.
Would you please join me in a prayer with Reverend Oliver?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. I thank you for the honor of being with you here this morning and being able to pray with you. I also pray that this weekend you found some rest and renewal. Let us pray. Everlasting and eternal God, we thank you for the rest and the renewal that we found this holiday weekend. We thank you for the promise that comes with this new week. And we thank you for the hope we feel here this morning. We ask you to implant the eyes of our minds with trifocal lenses so that we may recognize your signature, Lord, in the natural world around us, so that we may see the needs of the people in order for us to care for them with sensitivity, and so that we may visualize the work that we must do. With minds alert and hearts full of gratitude, we honor you as our God. Thank you for meeting all of the needs of our bodies, our souls, and spirits, so that we can serve you with renewed dedication. Now, as you hover around us today as we pray in this Senate chamber, Lord, grant us wisdom throughout this day and all the days of our lives. This we pray in the name of Christ, who is our amazing grace. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
reading direction and approval of the minutes of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 16th, 2007, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the Journal Committee report is adopted. We don't have a doctor for the day, but we do have some nurses, Nurse Betsy Hartman from Thermopolis and Donna Hayes from Riverton. Thank you for coming. Thought for the day. Most of the time, the shortest distance between two points is under construction. Messages from the House.
February the 16th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 394, third reading, passed amended. Mr. President, the budget bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed and the adopted House amendments are being transmitted with the bill. House Bill Number 1, General Government Appropriations. Ayes 48, noes 11, excused 1.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 1, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government. Passed the House on third reading in amended form. Ayes 48, 11, noes 11, excused 1.
House Bill 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 260, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 260, Athletic Trainers Licensing, sponsored by Representative Harshman, and Act relating to professions and occupations. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill number 260 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill 68, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 68, Methamphetamine Endangering Children Before Birth, sponsored by Representative Harvey, an act relating to children. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 39, noes 21.
House Bill number 68 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list for us?
Mr. President, the consent list today is House Bill 27, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives Repeal. House Bill 61, Public School Self-Administered Medication. House Bill 99, Pathways Scholarship Program. House Bill 112, Tuition Survivors of Specific Deceased Public Servants. House Bill 114, Tobacco Product Self-Service Displays. House Bill 200, Sale of Land to Uinta County. House Bill 240, Game and Fish Crossroads Restrictions. House Bill 288, Saddle Mount Combinations. House Bill 294, Sale of Land to Town of Newcastle. House Bill 304, Investment of State Funds. And House Bill 318, State Land Leasing Procedures.
On the consent list are House Bill 27, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives, Repeal. House Bill 61, Public Schools, Self-Administered Medication. House Bill 99, Hathaway Scholarship Program. House Bill 112, Tuition, Survivors of Specified Disease, Public Servants. House Bill 114, Tobacco Products, Self-Service Displays. House Bill 200, Sale of Land to Uinta County. House Bill 240, Game and Fish Crossbow Restrictions. House Bill 288, Saddle Mount Combinations. House Bill 294, Sale of Land to Town of Newcastle. House Bill 304, Investment of State Funds. And House Bill 318, State Land Leasing Procedures. Are there any House bills on the consent list that any senator would like withdrawn? Senator Stott.
Mr. President, 288 Saddle Mount Combinations, there is an amendment coming on that.
Any other bills that any senator would like withdrawn from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 27, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives, Repeal. House Bill 61, Public Schools, Self-Administered Medications. House Bill 99, Hathaway Scholarship Program. House Bill 112, Tuition, Survivors of Specified Disease, Public Servants. House Bill 114, Tobacco Products, Self-Service Displays. House Bill 200, Sale of Land to Uinta County. House Bill 240, Game and Fish, Crossbow Restrictions. House Bill 294, Sale of Land to Town of Newcastle. House Bill 304, Investment of State Lands. And House Bill 318, State Land Leasing Procedures. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Almond? Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Poe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Denning?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas. Peck excused. Perkins.
Here.
Peterson. Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Excuse.
Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flater.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed on the consent list. 28 ayes. 2 excused. House Bill 27, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 27, 28 ayes, 2 excused. House Bill 61, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 61. 28 ayes. 2 excused. House Bill 99. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 99. 28 ayes. 2 excused. House Bill 112, are there any changes? Mockler, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 112, 26 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused. House Bill 114, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 114, 28 ayes, 2 excused. House Bill 200, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 200, 28 ayes, 2 excused. House Bill 240, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 240, 28 ayes, 2 excused. House Bill 294, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 294, 28 ayes, 2 excused. House Bill 304, are there any changes?
Schiffer, aye to no.
President Schiffer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 304, 24 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused. And House Bill 318. Are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to conflict. Massey, Eichenell. Scott, conflict.
Schiffer, conflict.
President Schiffer, aye to conflict. DiCaria, aye to no. Moffler, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused, and 3 conflicts.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 27, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives, repealed. House Bill 61, Public Schools, Self-Administered Medications. House Bill 99, Hathaway Scholarship Program. House Bill 112, Tuition, Survivors of Specified Disease, Public Servants. House Bill 114, Tobacco Products, Self-Service Displays. House Bill 200, Sale of Land to Uinta County. House Bill 240, Game and Fish, Crossbow Restrictions. House Bill 294, Sale of Land to Town of Newcastle. House Bill 304, Investment of State Funds. And House Bill 318, State Land Leasing Procedures, have passed the Senate. House Bill 97, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 97, sponsored by the Education Committee, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility, an act relating to education, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have some amendments. Third reading, Amendment number 1 to House Bill 97, the Massey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 97, third reading, Amendment number 1 to substitute Bill number 1, page 8, line 11.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading, Amendment number 1 to House Bill 97, request that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, this brings a few topics that just simply need some brush up in the bill. The first one deals with the foreign language requirement. I just wanted to make it absolutely sure that instruction in the native languages of Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho can be used to fulfill the requirements in that paragraph. Technically, neither one of those are foreign languages, since obviously those people were here much longer than we have been. With regard to the second one, on line 9 of the amendment, in 2000, school year 2008-2009, as part of a step-up towards developing and implementing the success curriculum, there was a requirement that students take world history during 2008-2009. A couple of the school districts had contacted me and indicated that indeed world history is important. They liked the addition, but they were wanting an additional year to make sure that they have the instructors on staff who have gotten the additional coursework to teach world history, and wondered if we could just simply put American history in as that requirement and move world history back 1 year. And finally, Mr. President, the changes on page 11, line 23, page 12, line 13, go to the existing reporting requirement that's already in statute, and just simply add the paragraph indicating that the superintendent should let the Joint Education Interim Committee know if any of the school districts are indicating that they need some additional resources. And Mr. President, given the amendment that we put on in the second reading, I specifically note the smaller high schools to make sure that if any of the needs that they're voicing to the superintendent and the Department of Education, make sure that those are conveyed to the legislature through the Education Interim Committee. So those are the three changes I'm proposing to the bill.
Discussion, third reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 97. Senator James.
Mr. President, I'd like to know, with the languages, the native languages, be open to all the kids in Wyoming, or just the Native American kids in Wyoming?
Further discussion. Senator Scott?
Well, Mr. President, as I understand the way it's written, theoretically it'd be available to all, and I suppose if they developed an internet course or a compressed video course, that would be possible. The practical matter, I think, is only given in the districts that primarily cater, because that's where the market is, primarily cater to the Native American population. But I think as a matter of law for this amendment, it would be open to all of them. And Mr. President, this was discussed at the select committee, and it was a discussion there that these could be available to count. I think this amendment just clarifies.
Further discussion. The question being on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 97. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 97 has passed. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 97, the Job Massey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 97, third reading amendment number 2 to substitute Bill number 1, page 6, line 9.
Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 97. Ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment and ask for the body's favorable vote on this amendment. Mr. President, after our conversations the other day, this amendment comes to bring some consistent language to certain aspects of this bill and provide some flexibility so that in that extra year of math, beyond graduation requirements and science, that it allows high school to give credit to kids in a language arts area if they take that from perhaps a vocational class like technical reading and technical writing. The quality control here, however, is the phrasing that it aligns to content and performance standards, which means that consistent wording with the graduation requirement rules and regulations, that covers the waterfront. It says that if that student takes another class outside the math department or outside the science class, that those classes have to document that they are teaching to the content standards and to the proficiency level that any other course in the math would take. And so there has to be documentation, there would have to be the instruction, and there would have to be a measurement. And so I'll explain how this goes through the bill and tracks into the this amendment tracks into the bill. On page 6 of the substitute bill, it first goes into page 6, line 9, and says that these requirements would relate to A through D now, not just A through C. And down on D, it would then read an additional functional equivalent course, which is aligned to and measures the math content and performance standards at the 11th grade proficiency level. So that takes in the content standards, the benchmarks, and the proficiency descriptors. So those classes would know absolutely clearly where they'd have to go with that and what the students would need. And the measurement issue says that they're not only teaching it, they're measuring to see if students get there. On line 21, it also goes in and provides consistent wording in the language arts, because as I read this, students could take 4 years of language arts at the college prep level or industry prep level. And that's the way it reads. But what I've done is just put in some consistent language there that says language arts, and then it would say four years of courses taken in grades 9 through 12, which are aligned to and measure the language arts content and performance standards at the 11th grade proficiency levels for reading, writing, listening, and speaking. I do the same kind of thing on page 7 on 8. At the bottom of the page, this would be a functional equivalent course, which is aligned to and measures the science content and performance standards at the 11th grade proficiency level. So, again, when the kids that we were talking about the other day, that are somewhat in the middle, now can maybe take a vocational course that will get them into a certificate area, but they will be meeting the same kind of reading, writing, math, or science standards as they would in those specific departments. And they would have to measure for them, which they should be able to do with the current body of evidence. Mr. President, give me a heads up on my time here, because I just wanted to read a proficient performance descriptor, and this is in language arts at the 11th grade level, where they're talking about students analyzing and interpreting author's purpose and impact on reader and author's use of literary elements. They apply their knowledge of multiple meanings, word origins, and reference materials to make meaning of unfamiliar words. So this is the kind of goal that would be written into this amendment. Another one that might be more relevant is that 11th grade students with a proficient performance level write independently for clear purpose and specific audience. They compose both on-demand works and works that allow time for reflection and revision. They demonstrate logic and coherence with some complexity of thought and structure. And that's the proficient level, which is where we would want all students to be. If classes wanted to go on to that, to an advanced performance descriptor, they're certainly able to do that. So, Mr. President, this amendment offered to allow some flexibility for some of our students and...
1 minute left, Senator Jones.
Okay. This provides the flexibility, but assuring that they still get the same content and have the same high standards. Thank you.
Discussion. Senator Crowe.
Well, Mr. President, I guess I have a concern about the math side. I'm not so concerned about the language and the science side. And I want to make sure that when we talk about math, everything that has happened out there, that we can find with all the other 22 programs. Math is the driver of success in college. I'm concerned about the language where you talk about measuring the math content and performance standards at the 11th grade proficiency level. How are we going to measure that? With all three of these, how do you measure the 11th grade proficiency level? I'm more concerned about the math side. I thought about dividing that out and letting the other two go, but please, when the sponsor or somebody else on the amendment gets an opportunity, tell me how we're going to measure the content performance standards at the 11th grade proficiency level.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And with regard to specifically the question on measurement, I'll leave that to the prime sponsor of the amendment. I think that she could offer that more precisely than I could. But with regard to where it's being placed in the statutes and whether it's appropriate or not, it does not eliminate the list on page 6 of Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and Geometry, which are really the three courses in determining, in helping to determine success later in college. I mean, the others are important too, but if you had to come with a priority list of which are the most or the best indicators of future success in post-secondary, whether it's a certificate program, associate's or a bachelor's degree, those are those three, and they're not being touched by the amendment. The only thing that's being changed is that fourth math course, which right now says an additional math course taken in grades 9 through 12, and leaves it at that. I like this part of the amendment that's being proposed because it's much more precise. It indicates that the performance must be at the 11th grade level, which I think makes it a little bit more rigorous than just simply saying a 9th through a 12th grade course. But also, it provides a great deal of flexibility to the Department of Education, the districts, and ultimately the students, that they can get this content in a variety of courses, particularly with not only math courses, but also those in vocational education that employ advanced math principles. So it doesn't have to be somebody with a math degree teaching a math class in order to qualify. This provides more flexibility for the students, but does not sacrifice the level of understanding and knowledge that will be conveyed by this fourth math course. So I think it's a very nice amendment in that it provides greater flexibility at the same time providing even greater assurances of quality.
Further discussion. Senator Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess
maybe there's not opportunity for the sponsors to speak again, but the thing that I question in regard to having already taken pause out by previous amendments in regard to our ability then to go back in and to assess, in fact, what in is Lovins Grade sufficiency and how that might be done, or if, in fact, we're saying, well, we're not going to use pause as a standard for entering college, but we're going to go back and use parts and pieces in order to satisfy this amendment. I guess the thing of it is I'm confused in regard to how this would be assessed and what instrument would be used in order to determine the 11th grade proficiency, both math and language was. And if somehow I could get an answer on that, I'd still get it better.
Senator Cole.
Well, Mr. President, I guess before the sponsor takes second shot, unless I'm wrong, we took pause out. With another amendment, we provided the department the ability to come in and look at, I think it's 37 smaller high schools, 105 or smaller. What I'm concerned with here is just goes into all four tiers. Unless I'm missing something, I think it goes into all four tiers of the scholarship program. I guess I would urge the Senate to defeat this amendment. I understand the intent of it, but I'd ask the Senate to defeat it. Because I think we've got a good setup in place right now. It's all four tiers. I would remind everybody that this is not all cast in stone. We can come back in the next couple of years and look at it and change it. I thought long and hard about it after talking to one of the sponsors of the amendment. I don't think it does what we want to do when we talk about proficiency at the 11th grade level. I worry about that, particularly since we took pause out. So, reluctantly, I ask the Senate to oppose the amendment.
Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before the speaker, or before the primary sponsor gets up for the second time, I do want to focus attention on the fact that for the changes on page 16, line 18, and page 7, line 23, they're only dealing with that very last course that's on that list of math and science. It's not affecting all the other ones that are on that list. And right now, the language is really quite general on both of those. And I think that this helps tighten it up. But it provides those students with the ability to gain some of that knowledge through vocational education classes and through other classes that do apply some advanced principles to both math and science. And I think that that's important. And while we did take pause out, I would certainly draw people's attention to page 12, lines 8 through 10, which is still in the bill, asking the superintendent to come back with recommendations for the adoption of statewide student assessment standards and scores to augment ACT and work key scores. And so that the notion of measurement is still very much in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just quickly before the sponsor rises for the second time. Again, there, you know, in regard to the first portion of the amendment that calls for a functional equivalent course. Now, functional equivalent course, that says something to me, but as I understand it, talking with the superintendent, that maybe some of these classes, particularly in math, have not yet been designed. And I think that maybe as we look at this evolving over time, that we would be better to design those classes, then take a look at those, and see if, in fact, they are the functional equivalent of those classes. So I think there's a lot of questioning in this in regard to the design of the, particularly the math course. And I, too, at least for this moment, I urge you to defeat this amendment and wait until this functional equivalent has been designed to take a better look at that.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes her second time? Further discussion? Senator Jones.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think some of the worries of the members of the body can be answered through the rules and regulations that are currently in place from the State Department of Education. One is the accreditation rules, and the other is Chapter 31, the graduation requirements. Graduation requirements still require all districts to have a body of evidence. That is a series of very rich tests. The legislature has put a lot of money into the development of those tests across the state. They are reviewed for validity and reliability. And so there is a way. In fact, there are very, very rich classroom assessments that tell a teacher whether the students are, in fact, meeting the standards. And so, no, we don't need to pause because I do believe most districts' body of evidence is better at informing the teacher of how those students are progressing toward the standards. Their teacher developed, their teacher scored, but they have gone through technical a technical review to make sure they are measuring what they're supposed to, and they do that the same from child to child. Functional equivalent. What makes this class equivalent with any other math class offered out of the math department are those content standards. Those are common to all of the classes in math, and this is saying that if you take it outside the math department, it better meets the same instructional goals. Now, all we're doing is saying that you will meet, you'll get to the same destination. All these kids will, because that's what the standards are. However, how the instructional path may be different. It's probably more hands-on in a vocational class than it would be in a math class, but it would still count because you're still getting to the same point at the same level. And in fact, I would argue with you that this language ought to be in all those other courses that you list, whether it's algebra, geometry, college prep, or advanced placement language arts. Because what you're talking about now is simply a Carnegie unit that says these kids can get their seat time in. This says it guarantees that they will meet certain standards and the teacher will know at what level they are. So, Mr. President, I think this probably strengthens, it provides flexibility, but I think it strengthens this for kids. And if I had my way, this language would be with all those other requirements because we are a standards-based educational system by statute in this state, and this is saying that you would meet those. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question is on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 97. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 has failed to pass the Senate. Division being called for. All those in favor, please stand. Opposed. Third reading amendment number 2 has passed the Senate. Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 97, the Von Platteren Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 97, third reading amendment number 3 to substitute Bill number 1, page 6, line 6.
Senator Von Platteren.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 3, Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 97 and ask to dispense with further reading. After a couple days at home and listening to our career technical ed teachers and their concerns about this bill, they really were pushing to loosen the requirements on those children that they see as going into career technical. One of the great problems that they had was in this foreign language requirement. Personally, I, as the call senator from Albany County said, you know, teaching a foreign language is not so much teaching somebody to speak fluently in 2 years as much as teaching them a culture and teaching them about other countries as you learn. You know, it's hard to start a war with somebody that you may understand a little bit more about them. So I really have my own personal regrets removing this, but I tell you, it is going to be very difficult for them to concentrate on their shop programs, whether it's auto tech, welding, or whatever, and also get in 2 years of language in this same time frame, and especially when they use the block curriculum in high school. So what this amendment does is remove 2 years of foreign language from the bottom of career scholarship, and it also puts the opportunity scholarship, which receives the same cash value as the career, it also takes it down to just 1 year requirement. The top 2 tiers are left a 2-year requirement as per the bill as it is today. It also takes the math requirement for the bottom only, the career scholarship, and allows them to use one of the CTEs, or career technical ed math courses, in lieu of Algebra 2. So they still get 4 years of math, which I am a firm believer in, that they still need to be immersed for 4 years in a math course, but allows them to take something that will be approved by the department, such as accounting for business, construction math, which is very heavy in geometry, but doesn't require that next level of algebra, that it puts the math into a practical application for them, and I think it much more suits somebody headed into that section, in that part of life as far as vocational training. So a quick review of the amendment is on page 6, line 6. It goes into subsection little I and inserts except for career scholarships under the math requirements. It just says except for career scholarships under this section. 4 years of math include those specified under subparagraphs A through E. So it adds E to this list. And then you go to page 6 and delete the and, page 6, line 19. You put a semicolon and an and in there. And then on under that, you would add E, which is for career scholarships, a career technical education math course approved by the department as a substitute for Algebra 2 required under subparagraph B of this paragraph. And then it goes to page 8, 9, 8. It says, after language, delete, insert, and then you go to immediately to subparagraph A for the honor and performance scholarship, and then all the existing language is left in there. Page 8, line 11, after 12, you insert the semicolon, and then a subsection B after that for the opportunity scholarship under this section, 1 year of foreign language taken in grades 9 through 12. The career scholarship is not listed for foreign language requirement. So in that case, it would be, by default, not required for the career only. Page 9, line 14, after Algebra 2, you would insert for an approved career technical education math course, the career scholarships is provided under the subparagraph. And then page 10, line 8, after the Roman numeral 2, on Algebra 2, or an approved career technical education math course for career scholarships is provided. So, information, it takes out the foreign language on the bottom for the career scholarship. It takes the opportunity
from
2 years to 1 year. And it also allows for one little more flexibility in the math for the career scholarship only. And with that, Mr. President, I'll stand for questions. Thank you.
Questions on the amendment? Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, this has a lot of stuff in it. I think it's a lot of stuff we need to pay attention to. Because as we've had this debate, and we've talked about foreign language, and that's your option. You know, if you want to go back to 1 year, fine. But the math side, clearly the math side is where I think we've had the big debate. And I'd like to try to figure out how to divide this out, but I haven't had enough time, and maybe someone can help me. But I'd like to take the math component out and maybe talk about the foreign language side of that, as it relates to opportunity and career. But I would hope that we would not pass this amendment. I'm not going to say what we're going to have to do when we go in the conference committee process, but I think we've got a good structure here for what I think this program should have. It's interesting that the University of Utah, or that the state of Utah, is in the process of putting in a program just like this. They're going to require 4 years of math, science, language, just like we do. And they're going to require foreign language. To get into CSU, you've got to have 2 years of foreign language. To get into any of the 16 institutions, any of the 16 state institutions in the state of North Carolina, 2 years of a foreign language and 4 years of math. So I think to defeat this amendment, I think that what we have in place is something that has a track record to it. And the track record goes to the other 22 programs across this country. The track record goes to an analysis done by a doctor over in University of Wyoming that looked at this for 3.5 years and practiced. Now, I think it's important that we challenge our students. I don't care if it's the career side or whatever else it is. They need these tools out there to succeed. And I think we're going to be amazed if we let them try to succeed with what we have to ask them to do. The good senator from Union County the other day made some great comments about it. So, reluctantly, I oppose this amendment. I just don't think it's the right thing to do with where we find ourselves right now with this bill and with the interim work that's been done on this bill. Huge interim work done with the select committee, a lot of work done by the Joint Education Committee. I think we've got a good product in place. I urge you to beat the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I do rise urgent to defeat this particular amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is not a disaster. You know, if we ultimately wind up passing a bill with this in it after we've dealt with our colleagues on the other side and have a conference committee and all, and you get something that looks somewhat like this amendment, I would vote for it, Mr. President, because it would be improvement over where we are. But I don't think it's the right way to go at this time, and I don't think ultimately it's the right way to go. One of the things we heard in the Select Committee again and again was that the requirements as a practical matter in the world of work were getting to be as stringent as those for the academic. And I think we need to challenge our kids. I don't think we're doing them a favor if we eliminate the Algebra 2 requirement. I think they'll find that useful. And, Mr. President, I also have reservations about the provision for 1 year of a foreign language. I took, in my high school years, 1 year of Italian. And, frankly, that's not enough to learn enough of a language to really do something. You need to do at least 2 years. I have some reservations about 2 years, but 1 year just doesn't get it done. And Mr. President, I would oppose the amendment for that reason as well.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would support this amendment. I don't know about all of you, but when we originally passed Pathway, and it was a team effort, and a lot of it happened right here in the Senate, we went home and we told people about it. They were amazed. That was the number one attaboy that I think the legislature perhaps has ever gotten. People were so proud that we had this program, that we're finally putting the mineral wealth in the state to use for our young people. As so much time has been spent developing the requirements for Hathaway, my people at home have talked to me a little bit differently. They said you're making it into an elitist program. You're excluding the performing arts. You're excluding other types of art. You're making it more difficult for children to realize their dreams and potential because you are molding them in a particular way. The number one complaint I heard during the campaign about it wasn't highway, it was pathway, and it was being too cookie cutter. I've got an 11-year-old son. I don't think I want his education to be influenced by the Hathaway requirements, to be perfectly honest. In fact, I've come around to think that maybe this is not such a good thing for people, for children in Wyoming. I'm not as proud as I was when I left 2 years ago, because I feel like instead of opening the doors for a lot of people, we sort of tried to over-socialize them, make them into rogues, I guess, cookie-cutter children, cookie-cutter graduates. This amendment opens it up slightly. This amendment represents the number one thing I heard all last year about the election, more than highways, people complaining about the restrictive requirements in Hathaway. I urge the support of this amendment.
Senator Manchin.
Thank you, Mr. President. And again, I want to remind folks about the comments concerning how much further we need to go in this process. But I rise because I heard again the word cookie cutter. And I think that this amendment makes it more of a cookie cutter. And that's the problem I have with it. It just assumes that if you're going to go into vocational education or you're going to go to get a certificate in post-secondary work at a community college, then your ability stops at the career scholarship level, and that's it. That you're incapable of doing any of the other three levels. And this was designed not to do that whatsoever. It was never designed in order to pigeonhole kids and say, this is the area that you're going to have to go into, so this is the scholarship level that applies to you. They should be able to qualify at the $1,600 a semester level if they want to, and then use that to apply to a certificate program. And indeed, Mr. President, the existing statute that's not shown in the bill, because we're not affecting them, with regard to the career scholarship, clearly indicates that even though the scholarship you get on the career level apply for only 2 years and attend a community college. If you earn a 2.25 at the end of the 2 years, you get another 2 years in order to go on to earn a degree. It's not at all focused on just simply going and getting a certificate or saying that this is the only thing that applies to. So let's not tell kids this is where you need to go. Let's not crack them. And by adopting this amendment, we're starting to do that. And finally, the other thing, Mr. President, is that the amendment that we just adopted does provide greater flexibility, especially in the area of taking those vocational education courses that meet the proficiency standards that a part of this amendment tries to get at. But the amendment that we adopted does it much better. And it fits within this entire philosophy and framework of allowing the students to make their own decisions, letting them apply their own abilities, and then once we provide them with this fundamental education and scholarship, they can decide where they want to go from there.
Senator Cole. Well, Mr. President, just briefly, you know, with the debate we're having on this amendment, we're really talking about the bill. And we're having a debate about the bill with this amendment, so maybe the debate on the bill might be limited. But yeah, to the good senators in Fremont County, it was an attaboy last year. No question about it. That's got to be one of the neatest things I've ever seen down here in my 19 years. What a deal. What a deal for the kids of the state of Wyoming. $400 million endowment fund, we just passed a bill to make that inviolate. Money's going to be there in the future. But it doesn't do any good to give money to students if they aren't going to succeed. And if we know with a track record of history out there that they aren't going to succeed if we don't have more stringent requirements on them. It's just there. It's out there. The numbers are there. You know, I think that we aren't asking too much. A 2.5 and a 17 ACT to get cranked up in this deal, they don't have to take the POP test anymore. I urge you to defeat the amendment and keep what we have intact. And let's move forward and pass something and, you know, have it signed into law that says we're serious about challenging our kids, and we're serious about the fact we're going to give a scholarship and not an entitlement, and that we're serious about kids succeeding, and that, you know, we're serious about the future of the kids of this state. And I urge you to defeat this amendment and then pass the bill.
Further discussion? Senator Von Platter.
Thank you, Mr. President. All valid and good points. I mean, a lot of this is going to be a conference committee issue, and you know, I have my mixed thoughts about or feelings about how this should turn out. But the tall senator from Corona County brings up a good point that even 2 years of foreign language isn't enough teaching. I mean, it teaches you more about the culture of the country, and you get a basis for the conjugation of verbs and things. But you know, after if you leave it for a year, you're pretty well done with it. The reason that 1 year isn't left in this amendment is due to the fact that they do have an opportunity, although they're receiving the same $800 as the career scholarship. The opportunity at least can be used at the university. And I hope their exposure of 1 year, and then maybe they wake up in their junior or senior year and they think, well, I may want to go to Colorado or somewhere else, and give up the halfway scholarship, and then they realize they need 2 years in most states to go to the state school system. So at least they are exposed to it. They can see how well they do with it. But when you're on the career track, and I hate the pigeonhole in your saying, you know, we're not doing cookie cutter. The original bill doesn't do cookie cutter. It doesn't. It allows some flexibility, but when you have so many hours in a day, you have to get certain things done. And when you're good at something, and that's just something you love to do, and you're forced into taking something that you probably won't get through, and all of a sudden, you've taken your $800, and you won't match those last 2 years of foreign language. And so all of a sudden, all your love for your other vocation is gone as far as any scholarship money because you can't get those 2 years in. That's wrong. That's not what your priority in life is. No, I would love them all to have to take 2 years, but I'm not sure that alone would kill their scholarship money. That probably would. And so with that in mind, I think this amendment should pass. This amendment should definitely pass. And allow that flexibility for them if they find out they naturally can speak a foreign language. And go ahead and go for it. But I don't think that, You can't set these children up for failure in their high school. We're talking about setting them up for failure for college. Well, we're setting them up before they get out of high school to fail to receive this money. And I think that's wrong. I ask you to pass this amendment, let them have the flexibility along with their folks and along with the school counselor, and see if they can take a foreign language and add it to what they're already doing. I ask for your favorable vote on this amendment.
Question is, on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 97, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 97 is failed to pass the Senate. We are back on the bill. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is,
Mr. President, urge you to support House Bill 97. We've worked hard on this. The interim committee's worked hard on it. The select committee has. It's a good bill. Urge you to support House Bill 97.
Further discussion. House Bill 97, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns? Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Astert?
Aye.
Hines? Jennings?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mosler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Peck excused. Perkins? Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions? Excuse? Thompson?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excuse.
House Bill 97, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 97 has passed the Senate. House Bill 288, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 288, sponsored by Representative Edwards, Saddle Mount Combinations, an act relating to motor vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 288, the Scott Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 288, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 23.
Senator Scott.
President, move adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, after all the momentous issues we've dealt with, I will represent the Senate. This is not an overwhelmingly momentous amendment. This is the amendment. It was prepared for second reading, but the language wasn't quite right and it was withdrawn. We've got the language right now. It puts a precaution and it makes it very clear that this does violate these sections in Title VI. I think it's the way the law would be without the amendment, but it just makes it very clear. It may be, Mr. President, that our colleagues at the other end will say it's an unnecessary precaution, but we need to look at the possibility of what it will be if it goes all the way through and becomes part of the law. And I will represent to the Senate that it will do absolutely no harm at all there. It'll just make things very clear and avoid any difficulties. So I would urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment or the diagram. Senator Barrasso.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this amendment. You know, in the Senate last week, we handed out these pictures, and these graphically describe what those trucks are doing, Mr. President. And my concern is, without this amendment attached, then whoever signed their name to this graphic picture that was distributed could find themselves in violation of even additional laws. So I speak in favor of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And
I support this. I'm just disappointed that Senator Ross and I didn't think of it first.
Further discussion on the amendment. Question is on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 288. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 288 does pass. We are back on the bill. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 288 pass the Senate? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman? Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria? Beck? Guy? Pastor? Hines? Jennings?
Aye.
Joe?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Peck excused. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions? Excused. Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Fonslater?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, House Bill 288 has passed the Senate. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business of the consideration of bills on general file.
President, I move the Senate resolve itself and for the committee as a whole.
The motion is to resolve the Senate in the committee of the whole. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate is in the committee of the whole. Senator Job.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 6. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 6, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, State Fire Marshal Coordination, and Act relating to the State Fire Marshal. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation, that reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 6. There are no standing committee amendments. It is the product of our interim corporation's work. And Madam Chairman, I would yield to Senator DeCaria for an explanation of the bill.
Thank you. Senator DeCaria?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, House Bill 6 provides for the purchase and operation of state fire training facilities. Madam Chairman, a little bit of history. This goes back to 2004 with kind of a conference with the people that are responsible for the fire training in the state of the Wyoming. They brought a recommendation, and in 2005, the legislature authorized a $35,000 study to look at what the needs were in the state of Wyoming as far as training firefighters. There was a consultant hired. The consultant brought the report back in 2006. And in 2006,
The Joint Interim Corporations Committee put a bill together in order to get to this point. What House Bill 6 would do is allow the state of Wyoming to take possession of the Wyoming Fire Academy that's located in Riverton and provide for 3 staff positions. The original bill that was brought forward, Madam Chairman, was a little bit larger in scope. So if you're looking back at the original piece of legislation, what it did is it provided for what's in this bill, but it also provided money to go out and update the fire training facilities from around the state. It was felt that maybe, you know, it was a little bit better to pull that back in scope and centralize this in one place as far as in the state and make sure that we have a good fire training facility. And so what would happen with this one, this would provide $636,710 is going to replace the burn building and the tower at the current location in Riverton. I guess, you know, it's kind of funny, but those burn buildings, after they use them a certain amount of time, they get, they actually do sort of burn down, and they have to be reconstructed, and so you have to put those up in order for training. It would allow for approximately $16,500 for training props. That's, you know, things for like forcible entry, pitched roof, flat roof, so there's different training techniques. $4,000 for computer software. $50,000 for instructors, student lodging, and online training that would be ongoing, and $191,000 for personnel and operations, which brings us to the total. Currently, the state of Wyoming is currently paying $50,000 a year in rental fees, which would, they would go away, obviously, be absorbed into this. As far as the facility and about it, it's 9+ acres. 1 acre set aside for the Fremont County Fire District headquarters. This property is currently owned by the Fremont County Fire Joint Powers Board, and it was built and it's been operational since 1985. Madam Chairman, in the last several years, there's been an increase in as far as the number of fire events in the state of Wyoming and the responses. Madam Chairman, if you the statistics go back to 96, fire department responses at that time were about 3,700. In the last year that we have figures for, there are about 29,000 responses. And so there, this is obviously something that's very much needed. And Madam Chairman, I think the biggest point is there is a real need out there because, as I'm sure most of you are aware here, there's only a few full-time fire departments in the state of Wyoming. Most of the other fire departments in the state are volunteer fire departments, and so those are people who volunteer their own time, and they, you know, make that commitment and do it willingly. But it seems to me if you have any, you know, history around the state, it's good that we have these people that are very well trained and can serve. One other real advantage of this, Madam Chairman, is that it also allows for wildland fire training. So it's not just structural fire training, but it's also for wildland fire training. So, you know, this can be used to teach about fires out on state land. Madam Chairman, this also, there are industries that use this fire training facility and pay for, you know, the time that they're there in order to do that. And actually, some of the other agencies, like BLM, Forest Service, they also, as far as the wildland, use that. And so there are multiple people that utilize it. And so I think this is a good investment, a wise investment into those people that are willing to go out and sacrifice, you know, their time and put their lives on the line in order to fight fires and make everyone else safe. And with that, Madam Chairman, I would urge the body favorable consideration, and I would be happy to stand for questions. Thank you.
Discussion? Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 6, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 6 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 279.
House Bill number 279, sponsored by Representative Brown, Fire Protection Districts Mutually Agreed Division, and Act Relating to Fire Protection Districts. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political
Subdivision reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, DeCarrier, Larson, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Madam Chairman, thank you. Madam Chairman, I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 279. And, Madam Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, and I would like it read in at this time, if we could.
Thank you. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
House Bill 279, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 11.
Madam Chairman, picking up the Standing Committee Amendment first. Madam Chairman, this is a bill about allowing a fire district to divide. And within the bill, there was no provision for the county commissioners to impose an equitable division of the assets of the fire district into the two separate fire districts if they couldn't come up with a mutually acceptable division. So this amendment was proposed in committee, and the amendment says talks about the commissioners, the county commissioners, being able to impose an equitable division of the assets of the fire district if a mutual agreement cannot be reached. Now, Madam Chairman, we may have to do a little bit of work on this on second reading, and I think when I yield to Senator Peterson, he'll talk more about it. But I would suggest let's get the amendment put in place and just allow for that situation that we can't agree on the division of assets. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the amendment.
Senator Case, are you calling for a question on the amendment then?
I would if there's no discussion on it, Madam Chairman.
Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 279, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Case?
Peterson, for an explanation of the bill.
Thank you. Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senators, this bill addresses a problem that has come up in my district. This fire district is Park County Fire District Number 1, covering the Powell, Beaver Franning areas. The problem is that district covers two counties and three different municipalities. And so a split has happened. And just to give you a little brief history, and I'll be brief, prior to 1982, the town of Beaver had a fire station and a fire truck managed by volunteer citizens of the town. In 1982, Park County Fire Protection District Number 1 annexed the surrounding rural area and contracted with the towns of Franning and Beaver to provide fire protection to them. A fire station was built in the town of Franning, entitled Station Number 2, and was managed by the volunteers out of the Franning and Beaver area. And this arrangement exists until 2005, at which time the Park County Fire Protection District 1 board passed a motion on September 6th of 2005 that said effectively this, that September 7th, 2005 at 8 a.m. Station Number 2 will no longer be used for fire calls or extraction or extrication. And so the thing that happened here is that without public discussion regarding this motion nor recorded in the minutes of the meeting, there was no prior notification of the closure of this fire hall made to the citizens of the fire district in the towns of Franning or Beaver. The fire hall was closed, the trucks were taken to Powell, and there was no longer that station and the use of that station in Beaver and Franning. That's basically how it happened, and the bill provides a mechanism for those two communities to split away from that fire protection district. This legislation is addressing this single problem at this time. It's a problem that could exist in the future with other fire districts around the state. If this particular instance happens again, where a controlling board takes a vote and closes the fire hall and the citizens of that outlying area feel like that they're not getting the protection that they need. Now, what will happen if this bill passes? This mechanism, as you read through the bill, allows them to split from the original fire district. The split will occur, and it'll have the same boundaries that existed before the split, or before the combination of these two districts. The question that I asked was how much valuation will be there. The concern that definitely exists whether this smaller district would be able to support itself.
safety of the firemen, training of the firemen, equipment, all those questions, and flags were raised. And what is going to happen is that this district, with its old boundaries, will be able to generate about $50,000 a year. The question is asked of the fire board members, the volunteer firemen of the Franny area, if that could be enough to support such a small district, and they assured me that it could. So this is the bill that provides the mechanism for this split. The amendment that the senator from Fremont County was addressing was the main concern of how to split up the assets. And again, I represent both of these areas. And so I'm kind of caught in between as the voters from both sides are claiming how this will be unfair and or how it will be fair. And so I would work with the good chairman of the Labor and Corporations Committee to come up with a viable solution to this one amendment. But other than that, the bill came from the other side, accepted by both the districts. And if we can clarify this one amendment, if we will, this bill should pass, and I would ask for your favorable consideration of this bill.
Senator Byrne?
Madam Chair, I've got a few questions about the wording of the bill, if it could be clarified for me. On page 2, that paragraph A, it says that whenever a petition is in writing is made to the county commissioner, signed by the owners of 50% or more of the privately owned lands in the area proposed to be detracted, comma, who constitute 50% or more of the taxpayers within the proposed detracted area. So it's not clear to me. Is it either or is it and? Just the comma there doesn't make it clear. And Madam Chair, I've got some other questions. If you'd like, I can ask those questions all in a row or one at a time.
Whatever you wish, Senator. Senator Case?
Madam Chairman, we'll just take our little private dispute public here. Madam Chairman, I think it reads correctly because that comma makes it an appositive, that it says, whenever a petition in writing is made to the county commissioners, signed by owners of 50% or more of the privately owned lands of an area supposed to be detracted from the original fire district, and that same 50% or more of the privately owned lands have to also be the taxpayers, because it says who constitute 50% or more of the taxpayers within a proposed detracted area based upon the last completed assessment roll. So clearly, to me, they have to meet both criteria. It would be the same as an and. And if the good senator wanted to bring an amendment to make it and, that's perfectly fine. But I think that's the intention, is it to be and. And I'm getting a nod from the tall senator from the Toronto County, so it's got to be right.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for clearing that up. The second item I have, the question I have, is line 16 through 18. The notification. Mailing a copy of the notice by first class mail to each landowner. And I was wondering why it wouldn't be electors, and I was wondering if it was, and we were having a private discussion back here, whether or not this is old language, because a few years ago we switched that over to electors rather than landowners. And I was wondering if that may not need some sort of update or amending also.
Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Scott.
Madam Chairman, I think this is perfectly fine. It's clear what you have to do. This does give the notice to the people who are going to be paying the taxes, but this will affect the property taxes. As a practical matter, it gets the word out widely enough so that I think all the electors will get the word as well, and would be not 100%, Madam Chairman, because there'll be some landowners who can't be electors, corporations, for example. But I think this will get the word out widely, and that's what we're trying to do with the notice provision. So I think it's fine.
Senator Cole?
Madam Chairman, I would agree, and I also note that in line 20, there's the other notice that has to be done, which is really a publication notice, posted in three public places in the proposed detached area. So I think it's really it's an attempt to broadly get all different types of people the notice that's required.
Further discussion? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to that when the... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I did also have a couple questions about the division of the assets. In strict division of the assets, I saw a couple what I thought might be potential problems in there that we may want to think about as the bill moves forward. And the first of all is on page 6, the division of the assets of the Fire Protection District are, of course, a mutual agreement. I think that the amendment solves a bunch of those issues. However, what happens is in B, any detracted areas are being liable for any existing warrants and bonded indebtedness of the original district. As you look at that, keep in mind that warrants are a little bit different than checks, although we treat them the same. When you have what I'm looking at is when you divide those assets, there needs to be your warrants are going to be outstanding. Those are going to be like an outstanding debt for the most part, and so there needs to be some. I'm worried about that. I guess that can be handled in the agreement, but I think that's certainly something the commissioners would want to watch out for. But particularly with the bonded indebtedness, oftentimes the bonds, to the extent that they are for real property or for particular pieces of equipment, it would seem more appropriate that you may end up, or it may be more appropriate to have the indebtedness for bonding follow the asset, whatever the asset was bonded for. Now, while I understand that that those bonds may... those who buy the bonds are looking to the entire fire district prior to the detraction for repayment. It seems to me that there may be some ordering of priority. There's obviously the benefit associated with the bonds if the property goes to one, either to the one district or the other, is going to need to, you know, there's going to be benefit out there. And I can certainly see a lot of people squealing that they're having to make bond payments for equipment or for property that is not available to them that they can't use. And also, just the concern in this whole division area on assets, how, particularly with the cash and the ongoing assets and the ongoing expenses of the two fire districts, how those are going to be, how those will be handled, because I think the current language leaves some real confusion about how those are going to be paid until the assessment is in place and taxes are collected. So I'd be interested to hear some discussion on if that's what they intend or how they intend to divide up those, particularly with respect to the bonds, how they intend to make sure that, one, the bondholders get paid, and two, that the liabilities associated with the bonds are fair.
Senator Scott?
Madam Chairman, with regard to bonds, it was done this way so that you protect the bondholder. It is not really fair to the bondholder to remove some of the assets that they're depending on to generate the tax revenues to pay off the bond. And the fear is if you don't protect the bondholder, then any fire district in the state that needs to go out to a bond issue is going to pay significantly more because the bondholder will be scared that you're open to a fancy maneuver that could cause the bonds to be no good. So I think you almost have to write it this way if you want to avoid having unintended consequences. Now, the bond issues, I think, are relatively rare for this kind of a district. I don't know the ones that are in prospect for a dissolution. I don't think there are any bonds involved, but you need the general protection for the bondholder. And, Madam Chairman, with regard to the other issues here, you've got a divorce going on here, and that's about the way to look at it. You've got two groups that have gotten into a local fight. There's the point where they just can't live together anymore. The services aren't being provided. One group is... at least in the minds of the other group, one group's being abused by the other, you need to have somebody, county commissioners with the choice, come in and make an equitable distribution of the assets. They're going to have to look at, you know, what are the ongoing debts and who paid for something. That's all going to have to come into play as the county commissioners try to make a fair division that'll work. It's unfortunate that the bill is necessary, But given what can happen in local situations and what has happened in one situation, it was brought to the General Corporations Committee. You've got some real problems, and you do need to have this kind of a mechanism available when those sorts of things arise. And so, Madam Chairman, the planning commission is going to have a tough job trying to get it all divided up fairly. It may be impossible to be 100% fair, but at least you'll get a situation where everybody is getting fire protection provided and one group isn't being just ignored for the benefit of some larger group. And Chairman, that's about what I can say about it. You do have to protect the bondholders. You do have to protect anybody that's holding any other obligations. And then when you divide the assets up, that's going to have to be considered as part of what's fair.
Senator
Cole. Madam Chairman, just speaking not on our guest bill, but having a lot of experience with fire districts for 23 years, and we've got a special district here that's involved the people voted on. You know, voted on to have a special district. And they took a few votes of the people and these special fire districts and levy up to 3 mills locally on a set valuation, and they have trustees that are elected and chosen. And with those 3 mills, they go out and they acquire assets. And when you start talking about fire equipment, just a run of the mill truck is about $450,000. And I guess what I'm going to ask here, and I know someone can answer this question, but I'm trying to figure out why the county commissioners come into play when you're talking about a special district that really is away from the county. You know, counties can be in the fire business or you can have a special district. This bill says that the county commissioners are going to solve all these problems and come in and agree to divide up the assets. And when you start talking about dividing assets, I know what used to be over there with, you know, in training. For equipment. It was nice equipment. So I want to know, first of all, why the county's in there. County's in there when we've got elected board of trustees from fire district. And secondly, I got real concerns when you're talking about the kind of assets we have here, how they're going to do that.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good questions, and that's why we're going to try to amend this a little bit to make sure that both districts are treated fairly well. This is a textbook, just the opposite. This is a very peculiar situation. You've got one district and two counties, two county commissions, a new fire hall in Powell, a closed fire hall in Franny. This is the good senator from Natrona County has stated this is an ugly divorce. And the county commissions will serve as, I guess, some type of a neutral party to try to come up with some type of a division of those assets. Now, we can look at that amendment and try to better that, and that's going to be our attempt. But, Madam Chair, I remind you that this bill passed, and both parties were satisfied until this last amendment. We will clean that up. But, again, I would urge your favorable consideration for this mechanism for us to go ahead and allow these two communities to move on with their fire protection. The town of Beaver is in the middle of proposing to construct a fire hall, a metal building. The fire district to the east has already donated a truck. This particular, these two towns have the railroad and a major highway going through both of these communities. And so more importantly than the fire protection is the EMT, and the dispatch from Powell is 25 miles away. And so that's the community's concern, and this is the mechanism that will allow them to do that. And we will work on that amendment, clean that up as much as we can to ensure that both districts are protected. The bond indebtedness is taken care of. The Powell Fire Department just recently paid off their brand new building. They're bond free at this time. There are some assets. I don't know what the amount of those assets are. But the wording in the bill right now says it would be an equitable division. The question is the commissioner, the Bighorn County Commissioner, who are they to make that division of Park County, the majority of Park County? And so we will work on that amendment to make sure that both districts are addressed and their needs are addressed, and it is an equitable division. My question is that the old valuation, or the valuation of that old district, it will be the new district, the split portion of that district, for years, was generating from the oil fields a sizable amount of valuation that benefited both communities or both areas of within that district. And now that valuation decreased, they've been cut off. I don't think that's fair. So it's a fairness issue. It is an ugly divorce, and this is the bill that will take care of it, and we can move on and address the needs of these citizens in two small communities. So again, I ask your favorable consideration on this bill.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee as a whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 279, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 279 has passed committee as a whole. The majority floor leader.
Madam Chair, I move the committee as a whole rise and beg leave to sit again.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion carries.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 20th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 113 in gross, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Cole, Massey, and Mockler. No, Senator Burns. Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 16th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 205, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Cooper, Beck, Larson, and Vasey. Senator Larson, Chairman. February the 20th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 300, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, DiCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, House Bill 300, Adult Protective Services, that we just read in, don't have an appropriation on it. We respectfully request that be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. And if I may have privilege of the floor.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 300 is assigned to Committee Number 2. Senator Ross, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, I have in the balcony my wife, Sandy, and our identical twin, Candy Hartman. And I would defy any member of the Senate to try to pick out which one's my wife. But if they would stand, you can try to decide.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, Sandy's on the left, I believe. Mr. President, also, House Bill 113, which is just read in, Trauma Care Services, which was sponsored by Representative Walsh, also has an appropriation and would ask that you re-refer it to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, very easy. Candy's the one when you hug her. She looks at her, who the heck are you?
We are at that order of business with signing the roll back. Enrolled Act number 43.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 43, being original House Bill 189, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 43, being original House Bill 189. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 44.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 44, being original House Bill 195, and Act relating to crimes.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 44, being original House Bill 195. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 45.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 45, being original House Bill number 201, and Act relating to counties.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 45, being original House Bill 201. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 46.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 46, being original House Bill number 202, and Act relating to municipalities.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 46, being original House Bill 202. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 47.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 47, being original House Bill 72, and Act relating to probation and parole.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 47, being original House Bill 72. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 48.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 48, being original House Bill number 31, an act relating to charter schools.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 48, being original House Bill 31. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 50.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 50, being original House Bill 67, an act relating to the Interstate Compact for the Prevention and Control of Forest Fires.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 50, being original House Bill 67. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 51.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 51, being original House Bill number 151, and Act relating to taxation and revenue.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 51, being original House Bill 151. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 52.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 52, being original House Bill number 236, and Act relating to water development projects.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 52, being original House Bill 236. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 53.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 53, being original House Bill number 139, and Act relating to environmental quality.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act number 53, being original House Bill 139. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 54.
House of Representatives, Enrolled Act number 54, being original House Bill number 41, and Act relating to the Wyoming Medical Assistance and Services Act.
I am about to sign and rolled Act Number 54, being original House Bill 41. I have so signed. Rolled Act Number 55.
House of Representatives, enrolled Act Number 55, being original House Bill Number 127, and Act relating to economic development.
I am about to sign enrolled Act Number 55, being original House Bill 127. I have so signed. Enrolled Act Number 56.
House of Representatives, enrolled Act Number 56, being original House Bill Number 133, and Act relating to the Department of Health.
I am about to sign Enrolled Act Number 56, being original House Bill Number 133. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Leader, that clears the deck.
Mr. President, I'll move the Senate in recess until 1:30 p.m.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Message 383, House Bill 27, Livestock Brand, will meet about 10 minutes after 12 to see if we can work out the difference between the House and the Senate.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee, number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following House bills: House Bill 250, Peace Officers, Probation and Parole Agents; House Bill 137, Stalking; House Bill 308, Forcible Entry and Detainer; House Bill 256, Illegal Drug Law Enforcement Initiative; and House Bill 22, Engrossed, Law Enforcement Disposal of Property. We are also beginning out an announcement for a meeting on interim committee topics for tomorrow afternoon on adjournment, and a conference committee on House Bill 21 after that meeting on income withholding.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Appropriations Committee is going to meet at 1 p.m. with the House Appropriations Committee to go over the differences of the two budget bills. And then the Senate Appropriations Committee will also meet at adjournment to wrap up the work on House Bill Number 85, Gator Fish Funding; House Bill 278, School Capital Construction Reserve Account; House Bill 204, State Employee Health Insurance, Dependents of Deceased; and House Bill 76, Livestock Brand Inspectors. Thank you.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the Select Committee on Tribal Relations will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the F-16, the Revenue Room, to discuss interim topics, 8 a.m.
Senator Barrasso.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet today at noon in 8:17 to take and discuss interim topics with the committee from the House.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the Conference Committee on House Bill 177, Committee Human Services Act, will meet on afternoon adjournment in both houses of the Senate Labor Committee room, presuming at least one of my fellow Senate conferees can make the meeting. I apologize, I haven't had a chance to consult with them about this House proposal, but that's the plan, is to meet on adjournment of both houses.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, 20 minutes after the noon recess, to consider House Bills 131, Engrossed; Clean Coal Technology 2; House Bill 277, Engrossed; Surveyors and Engineers; and House Bill 270, Construction Contracts Residency Requirements.
Further announcement? The motion is for the Senate to be adjourned until 1:30. Be in recess by 1:30 p.m. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate is in recess until 1:30.